Hey people, are you in the market for a new watch and don't know how to go about it? Well, I'm here to help. As your luxury timepiece concierge, I'll help you source, purchase, and get you the best possible price at no additional cost to you, all from authorized dealers. To contact me, email me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com, or you can visit my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I speak to Merlin Schvetner of Nomos Watches, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dev Honda, and I'm sitting here with Merlin Schvetner, who is the son of the founder of Nomos Watches, Roland Schvetner. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure for this opportunity.
It's an honor for me for this opportunity, and I can't thank you enough for making the time. We're actually sitting here at the Archer Hotel, and we're about to have a cocktail. It's pretty gray and disgusting out, but I'm incredibly appreciative of, A, how original your brand is, and B, how inspiring it is. And since my podcast is turning into a pop culture podcast, it's very rare now that I'm going to be doing watch-centric interviews. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be one of the last great ones, to be honest with you. Because personally, I feel like, you know, doing watch podcasts only are very limiting. But I think that your brand is so pioneering and so ahead of its time. I've been following it since the beginning. And you're definitely getting a lot of momentum and steam. You're very young, which is, you're like 30, right?
Yeah, 31 in the summer.
31 in the summer. We talked, you moved to New York last year. Mm-hmm. It must be a whirlwind for you, living out of a suitcase. How do you attribute to the success of the brand, first of all, in Germany, and second, how do you attribute to that in America, the momentum? How is that built?
That's going to be a long answer.
Go for it, buddy.
I mean, with Nomos, you have a long, like you say, like a trajectory, and I think it's step by step that the pieces fall together and make this... make what Nomos is today. And we are now what you call a momentum. We've been working towards that to all over this last maybe 20 years that we've been working towards this with. And we spoke earlier about it too, that I think it would not be possible without that DNA within Nomos, which is also a mixture of different factors of how it is organized and how what ideas lead us to be what we are. And all that is what we now translate to the States.
Okay.
So we basically only take something that is Nomos, that we've been working on and building up in Germany, and now step by step expanding that internationally. And the reason why I think we have that good start in the States is because although the States and the America is totally different to Europe, we do have a common background, and we do have a common field that we can relate to.
Sure.
And Nomos is a brand that I mean, maybe brings these things also together, because it is modern on one side, and it also has that traditional because of the watchmaking. And it has this maybe modern feeling and touch to it, and communication that is also part of what the States is.
Sure.
So
you definitely feel like, as even though it's new for 99.9% of people, mm-hmm. you feel like you've seen it before, which is very rare for a relatively new brand, right?
Yes, because I think everybody, of course, relates something different when he sees a watch And there are many different approaches. Many approaches from a collector perspective. Others approach it from a lifestyle, from design aspects, from the mechanic appreciation that's in the bag, from the whole as a brand.
Yeah.
So there are many different steps, but I think each of them are valid.
Okay.
Most often it's a combination of them. It definitely has a feel to it that you look at a Nomos and maybe you prefer another brand or whatever, but you certainly not say, oh, I dislike this watch.
Definitely not.
There's not that antagonism to it.
No, absolutely not.
And that opens a lot of hearts and minds for Nomos.
Well, I think you execute your watches very simplistically and it has a timeless feel to it, so I don't think anyone could discount that at all, actually. But what's more remarkable to me more than anything is that you're a very young brand. And for those of you who've never heard of Nomos, they're a German brand. They're made in Glashütte, Germany. Glashütte, at one time, in my mind, you know, the Germans before World War II were really the ones who made the best watches. You know, German engineering is very different from Swiss engineering. When you look at German engineering, everything has a purpose. Even the ornation has a purpose. And, you know, when you look at a Nomos, it's very clear, it's very concise, it's very German, it's very practical. And it's very understated all at the same time. But yet, there's some sort of modernity to it that keeps you wanting to come back, you know. As I told you before, Bauhaus design is how I could epitomize the brand more than anything. But it's amazing. First of all, where did the name Nomos come from?
Nomos, it's a Greek name, actually. Its origins, and it is a name with many meanings.
Okay.
So the gesture of it, it's Nomos means like law, balance, order, equilibrium.
Okay.
And the idea behind it was that we wanted to combine, like you say, that aesthetics, minimalistic, kind of clean looks that make it a very timeless watch.
Right.
To the mechanics that are behind it, to balance those two, that you have that tradition that comes from Glashütte with that maybe modern look. And at the same time, at a fair, affordable price.
And that's a very delicate dance, right?
It's a very fine line.
Yeah, so it's a very, very fine line. And also, when you think about it, you know, I don't remember when the Swiss courts mandated that everybody go in-house. I think it was, you know, because Swatch Group had a monopoly and everybody had to go in-house. But you guys have been doing it since 2005, you know. Right.
It was a step at a step, like we said about the trajectory, because we started with two employees.
Wow.
So we couldn't do that many miracles when we started.
Right.
But as the DNA from Nomos was always to work to improve our existing movements and to make new ones, integrate the pieces, go upstream with our production in the terms of to know and control what we do so that we are in control of the quality.
Okay.
And because we are one of the few independent watch brands out there, we always have to watch out to be independent and to keep independent.
Right.
So that has always driven us. So from our initial hand-wound movement, which was based on a ETA Piseur 7001, we integrated it to our line in the terms that we did our own patented date, we did our own patented power reserve, even before we launched our own automatic movement in 2005.
Wow.
But all these we did without starting to claim we were manufactured, because the original drawings were not from us, from the Piseur 7001.
Right.
So we are very clear always with this communication. Up today, we do so much of it ourselves, and we change so much from the inside pieces and works that we can claim that it's our movement. But we claim to be manufactured in 2005 with our automatic Epsilon, and then we did a date on that automatic. We did our world timer. we created our gold watches movements, which were two, one in a tonneau shape.
The lambda, right?
Yeah, the lambda with a round shape, and then the tonneau shape for the lux, which both had all the high two level.
Definitely.
Watchmaking for Glashütte. And just recently, we launched our own automatic, the 3001, which is only 3.2 millimeters.
Is like, I believe it's like 30 postage stamps are bigger than this or something like that.
Yeah, we said thinner than nine stamps.
Nine stamps.
European stamps.
Okay. They're more massive than American stamps. Definitely. Okay, so it's nine European stamps or like 30 American stamps.
You think?
Something like that. I mean, they're...
Well, 3.2 millimeters.
So okay. But it's really thin.
It's really thin, but our greatest and biggest step was 2 years ago we launched our own, we call it swing system, which is our own in-house escapement.
Right.
And it is very important for many factors, because on one side we secure, like I said, upstream, that we can do our own production of even the heart of the watch, which is very difficult.
And right.
Many companies don't know or are usually outsource. And then it is very important for us for securing the quality for our customers, because it means that if for any reason you would have an issue with your watch, or because you have it for a long time, if you send it in for service in 10 years, you have spare parts.
Right.
So that was very
important.
That's
very
us.
Important what you just said. Because in a world where I think that's getting more and more scarce and more obsolete, everyone's afraid, especially of these in-house manufacturers. And I know you're working on parts that are more accessible, and you know your price points are $3,000 to $5,000, but you know, still, it doesn't matter how you scale it. At the end of the day, you know, you're not making, I think as you said, you're making less watches than Rolex, but more than Lange. So, you know, that's a small amount of pieces compared to a lot of other brands. But, you know, how does that work in a couple of years when someone's like, oh, I need a replacement this or a replacement that? You have the parts.
Mm. We have the parts and secure that continuity, but also we secure that we can grow over the years.
Yep.
But more importantly, or what we did with this, we are a family business. We invested all of this out of our own pocket. It was 7 years of research, $15 million, if you want to put it together. And we put it in our watches without increasing the price for them.
That's remarkable.
For us, it's a long-term investment. And it's about being that continuity for our customers.
Yeah.
So that was a very big step for us.
Well, I think you have a lot of fluidity as well. I mean, just looking at, you know, what you brought to the table today and what I'm seeing, you know, everything from the packaging to even the, you know, the stuff that you've graciously given me to take home. It's very well thought out, you know, very well designed, thought out. And functional, which aren't always mutually exclusive, you know?
Which makes it always also difficult to like think, but because we have to think twice around the corner. What would be a nice gimmick, or how can we package it nicely? What can we do around our watches for our customers to enjoy more of what they were getting for themselves? Because at the end of the day, a watch, a mechanical watch, is a treat for one.
Of course.
And then you...
It's
you
a luxury, not a necessity, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the basis of the brands is $3,000 to $5,000. Is that more or less right? I know you have more expensive watches.
Yeah, that would be our core.
Yeah.
We start as low as $1,550.
Wow.
With a hand wound, with a solid case back.
That's amazing.
And go up to $6,100 for our wall timer complication. And that is our spectrum for our stainless steel collection, which is our focus. And then 2.5 years ago, we launched our gold watches, our gold collection. It was made out of two models and with two different movements.
And these are solid gold?
Solid gold in rose gold and in white gold.
And the white's more, right?
The white is, it's a bit more because of the combination of the metal.
The rhodium and everything.
Yeah. Well, it's unrhodinized so that if it scratches, you can easily work
polish
on it.
Polish it
and make it look as new. But importantly for us, that collection is, it's both a treatment to Glashütte, to enhance the old watchmaking, because, I mean, we can go through it in a minute, but you have all the, let's say that the initial watchmaking traditions in that watch. You have black polishing, you have gold
chatons,
you have a hand engraving on there, you have a screwed down balance wheel, so you have all these pieces which were made the old way of the Glashütte,
which respect the art of Glashütte watchmaking, right?
But it also, it is very important for us internally, because our watchmakers, I mean, their heart opens up doing these watches. They love doing these, and it's very important to keep that alive within our company.
Well, I think one of the things that I realized when I went to Langa and Glashütte in 2007, been in a long time, but I used to go every year for a few years, is that they are truly some of the sweetest and nicest people you'll ever meet in your life, because they're so excited, you know, to welcome you, and I'm sure, like the other factories, you guys must be immaculate. Like, you could eat off the floor, in a sense that, you know, you have standards.
Of course, you know, and they have to be kept for the production and everything, but it's also, I mean, like, sometimes we're generalizing, but sometimes that term for German accuracy and organizedness, it's true. But I can relate to that, to the open-hearted that you've been received, because, you know, Glashütte, it's a small town in
the
valley. 2,500 people live there. It's off the grid of everything. And then if you have someone traveling from the States, traveling from whatever country you name, to go there to show a respect and appreciation of what they're doing there, I mean, I think everybody would melt with that.
I'll relate a little story to you. When I was in, and this has nothing to do with your brand, but just more to do with the people, I'd say, the you know, one of the main guys at Langa was, he and I became very friendly, and this was during, Langa had a thing where they had their top retailers come in and they certified them and stuff. And we had to attend class during the day, and at night we went for dinner. And so we'd go to this old barn that was converted into a dining room, and it sat like 50 people. So everyone was wondering where this guy was. And we're all eating, and the top retailers are there, and I'm representing one of those retailers, and they're like, "Where is so-and-so?" And I was like, "I have no idea. I saw him earlier in the day, and we had an amazing conversation." They're like, "Well, you must know where he is then. Like, you guys seem to have been pretty close." I'm like, "I just met him yesterday. It's not like I, you know, keep a diary of where he is." And he literally, he asked me during the day, he's like, what do you want to drink tonight? And I joked around and I said, absinthe. And he went to the Polish border and picked me up a bottle of absinthe, and that's why he was late.
That's German welcoming.
You know what I mean? I mean, and everyone was in shock over it. And I think it's funny how, and I, you know, of course, as I told you, some of my family are German, so I, you know, I have a very strong kinship to Germany and to Germans. But I think you get this rap about being cold and stoic and not emotional and all of this stuff, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Not you specifically, but the German culture as a whole. Mm. And it could not be further from the truth. It's the most inviting, it's the most open, it's the most loving, you know, and I think that's what you put into your watches, and it's very obvious to me, from the straps to the packaging, you know, to the conceptual design of it. It's truly amazing, you know, and I think you're making it one of the things that you guys are sticking to is that you're making it very accessible to a mainstream audience, which and you're not swaying from that. You're saying, yeah, we do have watches that are far more expensive, that are in white gold and pink gold or so on and so forth, but the core of where we're at is we want people to be able to afford quality.
Correct. Like I said, many different approaches. We have collectors that have many watches, and they choose to have a Nomos as an ad or as an appreciation for the mechanics or for what we do. But many of our wearers are actually young professionals and young people that just got into, maybe it's even their first mechanical watch. They start with a Nomos. So we have a wide broad of audience, and I think we have a trigger there with our watches that we kind of relate to the broad audience, in the sense that they all appreciate the different offerings that we have.
And so now I guess the challenge for you guys is, how do you play in the same field as some of these other brands that have emerged? You know, the Tudors of this world, the Alpinas of this world, the Frederick Constants of this world, you know, the ones that are getting a lot of the press and this, you know, that are, I'm not saying Frederick Constant and Alpina roll off the tongue, because they don't. This still, the average guy doesn't even know what a Tudor is, to be honest with you. But how do you reconcile that? Like, how do you, in your mind, I mean, I know you're like, okay, we may not be the most important brand, but we're not a brand that you just throw away in the garbage either. Like, how do you look at... That's also a very delicate dance, right? Like, you have to...
Maybe it's also from my perspective that I'm of course, I'm very subjective.
Of course.
Coming from one brand, and I always claim to be mono-brandish. But the best explanation, I think, it's Glashütte. Glashütte, we have 10 different brands in the same town working in a small, tiny area in space. I mean, you cross literally the street from us, you are in one back front garden of one watch brand.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You go diagonal, you're in the lobby of the other one. We are very close, and we work all together, and it's good neighboring. And I think with the other brands in our price segment, it's the same way. I think every watch brand has something to offer for the customers in one way or the other. For us, we kind of keep very much to ourselves, see what we can do for our customers by sticking to our values and principles. So we are very following that same path, which what Nomos started 26 years ago, by creating that design aspect combined with the mechanical aspect at that price. That's our base, and we continue to thrive on that. And don't look that much sideways.
Okay. But then how did you, obviously it's a family business, and I understand coming from a watch family business background, but where were you before this? Why watch it? Like, you know, was it something that, for you, that your dad wanted you to do, or was it more like you fell into it, or is it more like you fell in love with it? Like,
probably if I would have been pushed into it since I was a kid, I would probably
be out of
resist
it
to it.
Yeah.
So my father or both my parents always kept me very open about my future. Of course, like any other parent, they want to give any option that can be provided.
Sure.
And this way I had many chances, and I could take or relate to them. I actually started studying law, so I didn't have an intention to go into the business. I wanted to be a criminal lawyer, actually.
Does that come in handy to what you're showing now?
Not much.
Not at all.
Not much, not really. But it was during that time that I started working like as a student, you know, at the fairs, just supporting, because
like an apprentice almost.
Like an apprentice or like a supporting, like a freelancer for some projects, like especially at the fair, because it's you've been in Baselworld. It's a great small universe where you're there and you can learn so much from
oh, yeah.
the whole industry and everything that's around
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And for me, it was that first touch with the industry being kind of more serious about it, because before, as a kid, I would just, I don't know, like bump into the watchmaker's table or whatever when I was little. But it was always something parallel to my life. And then it was kind of the first touch that I had to it and looked into it and say, hey, this is interesting. This is cool. This is like another perspective to it. And I got offered the chance to work at a retailer in Switzerland for a summer internship. And I was there, and then I got in touch with all these other brands, not only Nomos. And I saw, I mean, for me, the mechanics are fascinating for me, although you would never want to watch that I put together. But
right.
But it is, for me, it was interesting from the social aspect of all the people, all the subject that are related to watches. If it's
100%.
Cars, or if it's, I mean, you have watches that advertise with astronauts. You have some that are jumping. You have some that are diving. There's so many different subjects to it, but also from the people to it. You have art involved with it. You have music involved with it. You have sports. So many different projects all across the board, and then this one thing as a watch that relates to it.
These little machines that evoke so much. Spirit and passion, right?
So I discovered that, and I was really maybe taken in by this time. And then I dropped out of law, started business. And even then it was not clear that I would join the company.
Really?
So it was a long process to get there.
Were you a little rebellious?
No, I wouldn't say rebellious, but I know it's a different call. Like if you are son of, it's always a different call if you decide to move into the company.
Agreed.
And
so those are tough shoes to fill, right? In a sense.
Sometimes it's tough shoes to fill, but sometimes you just are very different, and you want your own shoes, or it is
you don't
a
want
very
to be pigeonholed. I understand.
But also, you have to relate to someone who is your father. At the same time, he's your mentor, and at the same time, he is your boss. So you have to find a balance for those three things. And the first time when I finished my business studies, then I got into conversation. I had different options, different projects. And then my father said, well, if you want, you can do a trainee with us, like a traineeship. So I only had a contract for 2 years, see how that goes. And I had the chance to go through, I have to remark, but I think about 12 different departments. I see after sales, I see stock, I see accounting, all these different, and see if I like that. And because one thing is if you do, you know, everybody's good at something. And
right.
If you keep doing that, perfect, all good. But sometimes you have to look around what other options are related to that.
Of course.
And so that was a good chance. And then we got the contract extended for another year. And now at this time, I think we've taken that decision for a longer project with the States. And see
which
how
is
that
pretty
goes.
Remarkable, because you know, you open the office here last year, and you know, you have 4 people now working with you in the office, and you travel extensively. You know, how many retailers do you have in the U.S.?
I would say we are 45 doors.
45 doors, okay. So you're in some of the most exclusive doors, from Tornow to Cellini.
Vempi, we are at Vempi. We are Shreve Common Law in Boston.
Okay.
We are with also some like which are in the Midwest, which approached us, like Evansville, Indiana, which I had to look up on the map.
Huh.
But they came visit us in Glashütte, actually. And we, with all these retailers, you visit them, you work together, you become more than just partners in work. You become also
friends.
And they're all across the States, and for me a great opportunity to get to know this great country, because it's so vast and big and so different.
So many personalities.
Yeah, I mean, every city is different, every state is different, and I can travel to Bindi in LA and to Fox's in Seattle, and they're like all different
but yet there's something that brings you all together.
Yeah.
which is quite remarkable. Would you say that, you know, doing business in Germany is different, a lot different from doing business here in the U.S.?
I wouldn't say like a lot, but it, of course, every country has its peculiarities. I think communication in the States is more direct.
Yeah.
More open yeah. for feedback,
yeah.
for positive and bad,
yeah.
Which is good because it gives you more possibilities to react.
Sure.
It is sometimes, I'm generalizing here, of course, but sometimes a bit more fast-paced.
Yeah.
So, but at the end, it's a, all on a professional level too.
Yeah.
So at the end, it's on the same sticks. We have the same rules in all countries, so it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
changing much.
But it's, I mean, I think with watches though, especially, you know, you're more of a male driven brand, right? I mean, there's very few, today women are wearing men's watches,
mm.
but for the most part, you're also, you know, not making massively big watches. You're making watches that are basically 36 millimeter to 42 millimeter, right? And everything in between. And, you know, 36 millimeter today is a standard size for a woman.
Yeah, it's fun because we started with four models and we slowly expanded those four models. Today we have 12 models,
wow.
10 in stainless steel, 2 in gold, which is very little for 26 years.
Right.
It's not a huge variety.
Yeah, but it's still pretty amazing considering that you have your own in-house movements. Every one of your watches has an in-house movement.
Yeah, so we have 10 in-house movements, and those are the different complications that we have for every watch line. And we have, like you said, different sizes. We even start as low as 33 millimeters and go up to 42, which is our biggest and only in one model. But the fun thing about it is most of these watches are unisex.
Yeah.
And of course, mechanical watches is more of a male subject, but it's becoming more and more a subject for women as
Definitely.
Well. And especially with our watches, we have a big feminine audience because many of our watches are designed by women, which is rare in our industry.
Very
because
rare.
Often you have guys designing a watch, and then they say, okay, let's do it for a woman. Then how gold can it be? How many diamonds can we put on it? And for our, it's kind of the same. So it's more what design, what model appeals to you as a man, what model design appeals to you as a woman, and it might be the same. Or it might be the same, but in two different sizes, or with a different complication, but it is not visually that separate from each other.
Right.
And also we have some that are a bit more colorful. We have the Tetra, which is the square one.
Absolutely.
Which is, in our actual catalog, is our fourth edition color. And we had many success with it over the years. And it was that extra that sometimes we also do with our limited editions, that to say, oh, you like a Nomos, but you haven't made your pick yet. Maybe with this one appeals more to you, or is the one you've been waiting for. And it gives us different options because we stay to our traditional watches.
Which is also really hard to do when you're incorporating colors, right, on dials. I mean, I've seen you guys do, like, powder blue dials
yeah.
and different color red numbers, red hands, those kind of things. And that can be a real gamble,
that,
you know?
That is. But the cool thing, that's what opens us, being a family independent business,
yeah.
we can play around if we want to.
Of course.
Without maybe using your job or something. Of course, at the end of the day, we are independent and we want that our decision work. But we have an approach to our watches that at the end of the day proves right, because many customers actually
love
it
stuff.
And like it, and it's different than what is out there. I mean, we just did for our thin automatics, we did our collection in champagne colors with neon. I mean, who else would do something like that? And we find that our customers like it and they react to it. And that is the best appreciation
That's awesome.
Of what we're doing. So
I'm really happy that you guys are being able to respect the art of watchmaking and the tradition of it, but be completely autonomous to yourselves. And I think that's where a lot of brands fail, where they're trying to be everything to everyone. And you can't, right?
You can't. And I think what makes Nomos also so individual is kind of we have our path and stick to it and kind of have that line that if you had you decide to buy a Nomos 15 years ago, it's still a Nomos today. It hasn't changed over the years. And it's a recognition that takes more time, but that our customers appreciate.
And you've been picked up upon by, you know, the biggest blogs in the world, from Hodinkee to, I mean, I've followed you for a long time. You know, I've been stalking you. And I love the brand.
That's a good thing.
It's the best thing. I hope it's good for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's great. But I think that, like, when you look at those guys who are so critical of every little thing, you know, I know, like, for instance, Hodinkee, even before they became really, really big, you know, like, when I think of the brand, like, there's an independent brand, I don't know if you've heard of Martin Arrow Watches.
Mm-hmm.
They're a New York City-based company.
No.
You know, when I sat with the owner, you know, their watches are, like, under $600, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, wow, it's like a Nomos on a different day, you know, and he even says, you know, he even said to me once, he's like, what do you think of Nomos? And I'm like, I love it, you know, it's like one of my favorite brands. And you can see, like, the inspiration, like, you already in such a short period of time have inspired a lot of people, maybe brands that aren't over $1,000 necessarily. But the best way I can put it is that you remind me a lot, and I said this in the very beginning when we sat downstairs before we started recording, that you're like, if IWC had all of the things available to them today to start a new brand, it would be this brand. And I don't know, you know, how, like, who you draw your inspiration from in terms of design. I mean, a lot of it is original, but I'm sure there must be some that's influenced by other brands. Who would those brands be?
Well, some of our first designs are based on watches that were around on the 20s, 1910s, 30s. So, with watches, especially now with mechanical watches, it's not like you invent the wheel.
No, definitely.
However, it can take many shapes and forms, and at the end, you want something that is, that keeps in your collection for a long time,
yeah.
And modern at the wrist. And there's not only one inspiration that you can take. You should have seen our mood boards in Berlin when we, like, did the neon. Like, for the neon color, they got inspired on the spoon for ice cream, you know, the plastic spoons, and one of them
they
had
wanted that
neon color. No, but they saw that. It's something you pick up things that are around you every day.
I totally get it.
And then you combine them to something.
But how do you make it work together?
Well, that's the tricky part.
Without cheapening it,
Tricky part. I mean, our Ahoy, which is based on our Tangente, but being more sporty and giving it a more robust look. I mean, that is kind of, we had something there already, but it still took us 2 years to get to the final product. The Lambda, we had the case for maybe 2 years, 3 years, and all that time we worked on the dial to get that done. We had the hands already, but we weren't sure about the dial. And because we are not a stock company, we're not pressured to launch novelties every year. This year
right.
We launched one model, and it's just the bigger brother of an existing model already, the Tetra, but an automatic. It's not a huge leap, but it shows that we don't have that pressure.
But it's big enough, right, that it makes an impact.
It's big enough to make an impact, but it's mostly also about the movement, and it's showing a different option. And, I mean, for the Tetra, it's also a good example. We combined a dark, dark blue with silver hands, with green on the side of the dial, and orange for the orange second. If you hear it, you're like, how does that work?
Right.
Yes.
But it's memorable.
But then you see the final product and you're like,
it
okay, it makes sense. now if I see it, it makes sense and it looks good. And then some customers say, no, it looks great and I want it and I feel comfortable with it. But that is a long, long process. So there's no, I cannot pick one thing and say that's the inspiration that has driven us. It is different ones, and often we have different designers working on the same watch. Everyone brings something new to the table, and then it's the combination of it that makes the final model.
So you have, you said the most of the designers are women, right? And so how many people do you have working in Germany?
We have our manufacturer that is in Glashütte, where we have our watchmakers and our technicians, and where we have, let's say, our headquarters. But then we have our second company, which is Berliner Blau, which is in Berlin. And you have to imagine it as a big think tank. It's, Portland, Oregon, or San Francisco, or Brooklyn kind of style of an open office where you have, we do our social media there, we do our texts, we do our translations, we do catalogs, we do product design for displays, we do our packaging, everything kind of there. And also, of course, how we can make new dials, how we can make advertisement, new cases, new straps. That all comes together there.
Are the straps also made in-house? Or are they outsourced?
We supply the leather, which is the Horween Shell Cordovan, which is the horse leather, the best horse leather
that
you can
get.
And the reason why we chose for that is because we are maybe a very social and environmental focused company. And we wanted something that's a natural product, but it's not, I mean, they're not kept in a cage, or they're not raised only for that purpose. So it's horses that had a natural life, and after that, their parts get used to make the best shoes or belts, and part of that, what cannot be used for that, is going to be used for our leather. And it's a great leather because it's a natural dyed, so it does not have chemicals, and every strap, that's why it looks a little bit different, and it does not produce any allergies.
That's amazing as well. And they wear really well. They wear in really well.
Yeah.
They break through.
They break through and they're very comfortable. I mean, it depends on everybody's skin and how you react to it. But a strap can last long, like 2 years, 3 years.
Are you open to the public visiting the factories?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Before, we even had an open door policy. So whoever came by, which was rare because we were in Glashütte, off the grid. Whoever could come by or made time, he could walk around and
really?
look. Today, now that we have been growing and we have different departments, we cannot do that anymore, although we wished. But we have set once and twice a month public viewings, and everybody can inscribe up to 20 people per group.
I'll send you all
25.
The Indians.
Please do.
Be careful what you
they
wish
come
for,
by.
Buddy.
They come by.
Trust
I mean,
me.
We have
do
all
you have
sorts
those
of
like
people.
Condom shoes that you make people wear? That
no,
you...
we're not that strict. We have that glue in front of the doors that if you step on it, then you kind of get stuck, and most of it gets away. And we have modern air conditioning that soaks in most of the dust. We have under pressure.
Okay, so it's a state-of-the-art facility.
We try.
It's clean.
It's always changing, and we're always trying to modernize more and more.
So what is your, like, in terms of your, I mean, I know you're in the U.S. and you're traveling, you're creating a bit more business in the U.S., you're creating more awareness in the U.S. How often are you in Glashütte?
Well, last year, since I was so busy setting everything up here, I think I flew back twice in a year.
Wow.
This year, since now we are better prepared in the office, we are more independent. Most of our retailers, we have that communication set, and I try to fly back every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, and so now even with your retailers, you're visiting them as much as you possibly can. And it's only you? Like, there's no one, like...
For now, yes, because although we are open to get more people, but I wanted to get as much information and feedback from final customers, from say, the people in the industry, from staff at the different retailers and the owners as much as I can, because I'm a greenhorn for the States.
Of course.
I mean,
well, at the end of the day as well, it's your vested interest, it's your company, it's your legacy, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's of course, it's a responsibility, but also it's, I think, I want to transmit the product and our brand, our communication as much as I can. And but as soon as maybe I feel more comfortable, and also if we find the right fit, I think we could expand in that direction too.
Good for you.
But I think for the States, I would always be related to it a lot, so it will be hard for me not to travel around that much.
Well, you have a good relationship with your retailers. You know, I've talked to a lot of different retailers throughout the country, and they all have a tremendous amount of respect for you. So, you know, you're definitely doing something right. Your dad should be really, really proud.
Thank you.
Let's see some of the product.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to see some of it.
I brought you, because I couldn't carry that much, I brought you the movement itself. So what you see here is the, let's say, the naked movement without the case. And it's very important for me always to show it, because you can appreciate how thin that is.
Yeah.
Because if you hear 3.2 millimeters, you cannot really relate to it that
right.
much. And you can see that it's a complete new construction, and that it has a new bridge, because we needed all the space that we could get so that we could fit all what we need. But also, since we have so much experience doing our own things, we could reduce the tolerances of the pieces, making them
wow.
more smaller.
And how, like, accuracy-wise, what are we talking in terms of accuracy?
We say that we are chronometer capable, although we test them in sixth position. Standard usually is five. We do six, close to the chronometer values, but without being the certificate of a chronometer.
Yeah.
The reason for that is also because for a long time, as a German brand, we did not have the chance for a chronometer certificate, because the COSC, which is the most known international certification, is only for Swiss movements. Only recently that since Wempe created the chronometer certification in Glashütte, we can do a chronometer certification. However, we still don't, because it would increase the price of our watches.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And we do offer that option. I mean, if we sometimes do limited editions that are chronometer certificate, to show the world that if...
That we're capable.
That we are perfectly capable, we just don't maybe want to charge for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's on that side.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Also, you can appreciate that it has the caliber name
yep.
engraved and an individual.
And is that
number.
Geneva striping across?
It is a Glashütte stripe.
Sorry, Glashütte
so,
stripe.
So, no, it's actually the same function. As you know, it is an engraving of waves, so taken up from the old watchmaking, because if dust would get into the watch, it would lay into those layers.
Yeah.
But I am told that the Glashütte stripes go from 11 to 5.
Right, yep.
And the Swiss ones go from 1 to 7.
That's right.
But it is the same technique.
Principle, yeah.
Yeah, same principle. And also what I brought you here in parts is our swing system. So it is the heart of the watch, which before I explained that we did ourselves. We researched how to do this ourselves. It is the escapement in their separate parts. It's a team player of the balance wheel, of the anchor, or you call it a pallet fork,
yep.
and the escape wheel.
I mean, these parts are minuscule.
Yeah, they're tiny. They're, some
they're
of them
the
are thinner than the human hair.
Yeah.
So, but it's the beating heart of the watch, and it's what makes you able to make it go faster or slower.
Correct.
And that's why I always bring it a bit, because also especially if I go to events to show the customers, because it enhances and opens up the view to the inside of what takes place in a watch.
I wish you could see this. It's incredible.
So we have these. And then I brought you, because you've seen the automatic movement, but I also brought you the collection in which this movement is. So I brought you the Neomatic collection.
Wow.
Which is a set of 5 watches in 2 different dial versions. So you have a silver dial and a champagne colored dial. And it's based on our classical watches that we introduced as a handbound always. And now they're all available in a 35, 36 millimeter size in automatic.
Now, is the... Does this have the ice cream spoon numbers? Is that...
That is the... That is that neon...
That is...
I mean, you can find it in...
Is that the technical name?
Well, it is the neon color that we added. We would have to ask the designer how many different objects he found with that color.
That's pretty incredible. Very, very cool.
But it is through the line. And you see the Tangente, which has always been with us since 1992, as a handwound, now an automatic. And it's only 0.3 millimeters thicker than a handwound. So you have that comfortability and your wrist.
Without compromising the... Yeah.
And our watches, as you said, like 36 is now perceived small.
Yep.
And if you see them on a table or on a tray, they do look small. But once you try them on...
They don't wear small.
Yeah,
it's
they
weird.
Don't wear small at all. And they fill your wrist without being...
Overcrowding it. Yeah.
So this is a small glimpse into these. But also I brought you, because we talked about it before, the Metro, which we only launched 2 years ago as a power reserve in Dage, we have it now as well in this automatic version.
Oh, wow.
And part of the family.
It's beautiful.
And here again, I can pick up on what you said were inspirations for this watch. If you look at the lugs, they remind you of a pocket watch of
totally.
The 20s or the 10s.
Welded, you know?
Yeah. And then, but if you look at the glass, it is first domed and then flat,
yeah.
Which is something rather unusual.
Totally.
Or the hands are not also your typical hands that you would have.
You know, one thing that I respect a lot is that you create this incredible contrast.
Mm.
You know, from the sub-second hand to the regular two hands. You know, most of the time, everything is the same color. You know, but it adds another layer, like
it
a
does.
Three-dimensional layer to the watch.
And it's
awesome.
Like we said, and it's those little details that transform totally a watch.
What size is this? 30?
35.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the biggest that you make this one?
This one, you can have it as a date, as a handbound date, which would be in a 38 and a half.
As soon as it comes 41, let me know.
That will take a while. Because usually, what we wanted to show, of course, we could have taken all these watches and put them in a 40 case, but we wanted to show how small we can get, because we do our own movements. We don't source them from outside and then build complications on top. We integrate all these in our movements. So also, our handwound is the same thickness as our handwound power reserve in date. Because we integrate them. So, and it tells that we can do it ourselves.
Definitely. And it means that it's easier to scale from lower to high, right?
Yes. And, I mean, then if we feel like the market really pushes us for a bigger watch, maybe. But as long as it's true to our Nomos DNA, then
we'll keep doing what you're doing.
And together with this collection, we launched a new watch, which is the Minimatic.
Which I love.
It is, you probably love the way the case is made.
Yeah.
Because it's a...
Love those lugs.
It's, yeah, they are kind of wielded. So it's like
really
with
beautiful.
Jewelry, like they're kind of torn
yeah.
a little bit. And you can even see the relief so that the bezel like kind of goes into it like in a step.
Totally.
You know?
It's beautiful.
And this one is a 36.
See, like, I mean, I'd look at a 36 and laugh, but I don't laugh at this. Like, it's very, very, like, it has this, I can't explain it. It's like I said to you before, like, it feels familiar.
Yeah.
It has a vintage feel to it in a modern day way.
And it's, maybe it's the character of the watch that kind of takes you in.
And you know, another interesting thing that I've noticed that a lot of brands have that you know, yours don't necessarily have all the way, is you do have applied elements, but not on all your watches.
Correct. So we try to, like, for example, with the Orion, the indices usually are punched through the dial. On the Zurich, on the other hand, the indices, because they are a bit shaped and go downwards, they are laser applied, for example. So we work with many different techniques as long as it looks good.
Okay. Thank you.
One last one, because we talked about it. It's the novelty of
the one that came out this year.
Yes, Basel. So you see our automatic in the square watch, which is usually only available as a handbound. And there you see that combination of green, deep blue, orange, and silver hands.
Very Art Deco.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that's tough to do. And the lugs are really fascinating as well. It's like a...
Yeah, they have those two steps to it.
I love it.
Add much more depth to it.
It's like a New York City skyscraper. It's great. I love it. Very cool.
Well, it fits the scenery.
It really does. Congratulations, man. It's, again, a phenomenal contrast. And easy to read and comfortable. And usually square watches are hard to pull off. You know, either you like them or you don't.
Yeah, they polarize more. But even with this one, I found... I only started showing this like a week ago to like private customers. And they... And funnily, many of them say like, well, I would have never liked the square watch, but I kind of feel drawn to this one. It's still a step to then making the decision, but it is... It's what I hear, what I like often is that our customers have a hard time choosing their nomos because they say, oh, I like this one.
I want
like
all
that
of them.
One.
That's good. And it's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem, although I always say you only have one wrist.
You do.
So
But you have two hands.
That's true. Yes. That's true.
Yes.
But we like it when you wear our watches and you use them day to day.
But that's what's amazing about all of them. It's not like I would buy one and put it in the safe. Like. Mm. Unless it's very limited and very, very hard to get, and I don't want to destroy the value of it. But these are meant to be worn.
They are. They are. And to carry around. And they're not prestigious in the way that everybody would recognize them, or you can, like, go and everybody says, oh, look at that watch. But it is kind of an insider. So many that know Nomos, and then they see somebody else that has a Nomos, they say, oh, look at them.
It's very, very cool. I like it. And then you have more here.
I have one last... do you say that in the States? Ace in your sleeve?
Yeah.
You say that? So
you, yes.
<it's, laughs> I brought you the gold watch because I thought you would like to see it.
Oh, wow.
This model,
that's 42?
It's the Lambda in a 42. And what you see on the dial is that over-dimensional power reserve at 12 o'clock.
See,
which
now
tells
that...
you 84 hours.
Wow. See, that reminds me, wow, see, that's perfect, size-wise, it's perfect.
I personally find it too big for me.
No, it's remarkable. I love the lugs as well. Was this, I mean, on this, I don't know if you've seen, wow, that's beautiful. Wow. Is that all hand-engraved?
Hand-engraved, and you can even read it. You say you have a German background. I don't know how good your German reading is. But if you can, try to read that. Because we wanted to pick up... Usually, in the old watchmaking, the watchmaker would put his initials or his name on the watch.
Yeah.
Or what many other companies do now, they do floral.
Yeah.
Which is a bit easier because... I mean, it gives you a bit more slack if you slip. because writing, if you write your name with the wrong letter, it just tells. But we chose a way in between. We chose a writing that stands for the watches, and it means crafted with love in Glashütte.
Yeah, it's awesome.
In German.
It's awesome. That's awesome. Wow.
And you have all these features that we discussed a bit.
Yeah, very traditional German.
Yeah.
three-quarter plate?
Yeah, three-quarter plate.
Three-quarter plate, then you have the gold chatons.
You have gold chatons, you have a swan neck. Blue screws. You said,
are these blue screws, like, done the way... Oops.
Yeah, they're temperature blue.
Yeah, they're tempered blue, like... Sorry.
That's fine.
They're done, like... they're done to the tradition of how they were done back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So they're like a cornflower blue.
Correct. So they're a homage to that. And because it's, like we said, everything in the watch had a practical and a visual use. And the temperature blue screws were because they're more resistant against humidity. And they are at the places the watchmaker uses the most so that they don't numble down if you unscrew and screw them.
That's unbelievable. And so this one comes only in white gold?
In white gold and rose gold, which I also brought you. And
wow.
In this case, it has same colored hands.
Wow. That's unbelievable. They're both stunning.
One a bit
anytime
more classical.
You need a hand model. Anytime.
Yeah. Oh, you can take some wrist shots with the...
I will.
With the skyscrapers in the back.
Oh, yeah, I will. Yeah, that's stunning. And do you only use... Even your buckles are pin buckles. But what they're different than a regular pin buckle. They're very much... They're more stylized. Like.
Yeah, they're a bit stylized. And we use them also for our pneumatic collection. Although for the gold ones, they're solid gold.
Are they meant to sort of be... Because of the Ormewean leather, more saddleized, like a saddle? Or how, what's the shape
no,
of
the idea
is?
Was more of this way you only need one, I don't know what you call this
keeper.
In English, one keeper, one leather keeper. In our hand bonds, we have two leather keepers, for example, or automatics.
Oh, okay.
And it enhances us a little bit more. And we had some customers that asked for it or asked for like a butterfly clasp or things. So
we
found this way.
Thank you so much for
sure.
Showing me that stuff. It's really beautiful stuff. If you've never seen Nomos, definitely go to www.nomos.com, right?
Yes.
To see the collection. And then I think if you want to go to the store and buy, you can buy on there.
Yeah, you can. Although, like we said, we always support our retailers and family business because they are there for you. You can have a selection. You can take them in your hand, which I think is very important if you decide to go for a mechanical watch. It's something you have to sleep over and like, see what you wake up with the next morning.
Or you
in
can
your head.
Contact me directly at amitdevhonda@gmail.com and I can direct you to the right retailer for sure. Merlin, it's been a pleasure and an honor, and I can't thank you enough for your time. It's been an education, and I love your brand, and I wish you and your family continued success.
Well, thank you very much for your time and coming all the way out to New York.
Thank you. Well, there we have it, folks. That was my one-on-one conversation with Merlin Schmettner of Nomos Watches. It's very rare in this industry that you meet someone with integrity, and honesty, passion, commitment, and vision, and Merlin at the age of 30 has all those things, and the future looks very bright for him and his family, and I can't thank him enough for his time. You definitely need to check out Nomos Watches. In my mind, they have been rock stars from the moment they arrived in the early 90s, early 90 actually, and they continue to innovate, they continue to win awards, and they continue to evoke spirit and passion in everything they do. So you can check them out at www.nomosglasuta.com. You can email me with questions and I can definitely help you acquire a Nomos Glasuta watch. Check out my website www.amitdevhonda.com to see the latest write-ups and reviews I have on Nomos. And for those of you who want to stay informed, you can follow me on my Twitter and my Instagram. My handles for both are at amitdevhonda. If you want to check out my Facebook watch page, you can. Please don't forget to like it. And sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's a one-and-done process. I will make sure to include the link below. I'd like to thank Chowboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.